We're just going to go ahead and open up in prayer before we go into the Word of God this morning. How excellent is your name, Lord God, in all the earth. You reign. You are all-powerful and all-majestic, Father God. Give us an ear to hear what your Spirit is saying and a heart to receive your Word, Father. It does us no good, Father God, if our hearts are not open, Lord. Thank you for sending your Word, Father God. Through this Word, O God, you will move, Father God. You will confirm your word with miracles, signs, and wonders for those who will believe, those who will receive. I thank you, Lord. I bless your name. I glorify you. Holy Spirit, I ask you to speak through me, for you have said, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know what to title this message, so I will just say what I heard the Holy Spirit say, a sudden move of God. I came here on Wednesday, and I sat there where I usually sit, and the Lord said to me, he said, Joseph, he said, I moved suddenly in Joseph's life. He said, Joseph went through a whole bunch of stuff, and he stayed faithful to me, and he said, and Joseph tried to change his situation, but it never happened. But God said, when the time was right, he said, just like that, I moved. And he said, people don't believe that I can move just like that. People don't believe I can change things just like that. They're used to process of healing, process of deliverance. I can do that, says God. I can do a process. He said, but I can also do a, hallelujah, I can do a suddenly. And that's what God wants us to hear today. He wants us to hear about a suddenly in a devastating situation. So 2 Kings chapter 6, we're going to go to that scripture. 2 Kings chapter 6 from verse 24. It is a lot of reading, trust me, because when the Holy Spirit gave me this message on actually, he gave me the message on Wednesday when I came for intercessory prayer. And then I confirmed after Bible study that I was bringing the message to Dr. Esther. And she said, you got it. And I'm thinking, I have nothing. But, you know, I went back and I just felt like the Lord said, I've given you the message. And I said, Lord, it's a lot of scripture. You want me to read and go through all of this? But God is good, and he will give the word as he desires. So we'll start from 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 24, and we're just going to read through like the Lord gave it to me, all right? Sometime later, Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, mobilized his entire army and marched up and laid siege to Samaria. There was a great famine in the city. The siege lasted so long that a donkey's head sold for 80 shekels of silver and a quarter of a cab of seed pods for 5 shekels. As the king of Israel was passing by a wall, a woman cried to him, help me, my lord the king. The king replied, if the Lord does not help you, where can I get help for you? From the threshing floor? From the wine press? Then he asked her, what's the matter? She answered, this woman said to me, give up your son so we may eat him today, and tomorrow we'll eat my son. So we cooked my son and ate him. The next day I said to her, give up your son so we may eat him, but she had hidden him. When the king heard the woman's words, he tore his robes. As he went along the wall, the people looked, and they saw that under his robes he had sackcloth on his body. He said, may God deal with me, be it ever so severely, if the head of Elisha, son of Shaphat, remains on his shoulders today. Now let's go down to verse 33. He said, while he was still talking to them, the messenger came down to him. The king said, this disaster is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer? Elisha replied, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. About this time tomorrow, a seer of the finest flour will sell for a shekel and 2 seers of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. The officer on whose arm the king was leaning said to the man of God, look, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of the heavens, could this happen? You will see it with your own eyes, Elisha answered, but you will not eat any of it. Now there were 4 men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. They said to each other, why stay here until we die? If we say, we'll go into the city, the famine is there, and if and we will die. And if we stay here, we will die. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. If they spare us, we live. If they kill us, then we die. At dusk, they got up and went to the camp of the Arameans. When they reached the edge of the camp, there was no one there. For the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army, so that they said to one another, "Look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and Egyptian kings to attack us." So they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and donkeys. They left the camp as it was and ran for their lives. The men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp, entered one of the tents, and ate and drank. Then they took silver and gold, clothes, and went off and hid them. They returned and entered another tent and took some things from it and hid them also. Then they said to each other, "What we're doing is not right. This is a day of good news, and we are keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once and report this to the royal palace." So they went out and called out to the city gatekeepers and told them, "We went into the Aramean camp and no one was there, not a sound of anyone, only fettered horses and donkeys, and the tents left just as they were." The gatekeepers shouted the news, and it was reported within the palace. The king got up in the night and said to his officers, "I will tell you what the Arameans have done to us. They know we are starving. So they have left the camp to hide in the countryside, thinking they will surely come out, and then we will take them alive and get into the city." One of his officers answered, "Have some men take 5 of the horses that are left in the city. Their plight will be like that of all the Israelites left here. Yes, they will only be like all these Israelites who are doomed. So let us send them to find out what happened." So they elected 2 chariots with their horses, and the king sent them after the Aramean army. He commanded the drivers, "Go and find out what has happened." They followed them as far as the Jordan, and they found the whole road strewn with the clothing and equipment the Arameans had thrown away in their headlong flight. So the messengers returned and reported to the king. Then the people went out and plundered the camp of the Arameans. So a seer of the finest flour sold for a shekel, and 2 seers of barley sold for a shekel, as the Lord had said. Now the king had put the officer on whose arm he leaned in charge of the gate, and the people trampled him in the gateway, and he died, just as the man of God had foretold when the king came down to his house. It happened as the man of God had said to the king, "About this time tomorrow, a seer of the finest flour will sell for a shekel, and 2 seers of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria." The officer had said to the man of God, "Look, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of the heavens, could this happen?" The man of God had replied, "You will see it with your own eyes, but you will not eat any of it." And that is exactly what happened to him, for the people trampled him in the gateway, and he died. All right, here's the word of the Lord. From 2 Kings chapter 6. So this is what the Lord said. There are 2 kingdoms. Out of one came 2 kingdoms. The northern kingdom, the southern kingdom. That's Samaria and Judah. Now, this is taking place in Samaria, right? And Elisha is one of the prophets to Samaria. When you read in 2 Kings chapter 6, you see how God had delivered them through Elisha so many times from the hand of the king of Aram. He had. Because it's like the king of Aram would talk to his officers and say, "We're going to go here and ambush this people." Elisha would hear it in the spirit and go tell the king of Israel, and they would not be successful. Over and over again, it did not happen. But once the Lord allowed something to happen. So the first thing God wanted me to tell you is, God allows some things sometimes. Sometimes he allows something. He allows a devastating situation. He allows a difficult situation. The king of Aram and his army came and laid siege. What is a siege? What is a siege? It's a takeover. Yes, it is. Imagine we're all here And all the Austin police officers get up with their big guns and they surround this building. Guess what? They've just laid siege to us here. We can't go out and we can't come in. They're waiting for us to come out. They're looking for a weakness. This is what happened to the people of God in Israel under this king who is unnamed, but it's the time of Elisha the prophet, right? Elisha has the spirit of God in him. He has a double portion from God. He sees in the spirit and he speaks accurately. So there is no error in him, none whatsoever. The people are under siege. And you have to imagine back then what things were like. What they did was they built these, their cities were built as fortresses so that if an enemy came, they would lock the gates. They had huge walls. They would lock the gates, man the walls, which means they would put their officers with weapons on the walls so that their enemies couldn't come in. Their people would run in to the city and they would stay there. But you also have to understand the way life was for them. Their farmlands were outside the city. So their resources was essentially outside the city. They would bring things into the city to sell, to buy and sell, and whatever they had in the house. So you can begin to understand this people's situation. The Bible said a great famine. So it wasn't that there was no rain. It was that there was somebody surrounding with an army that kept the people from going out to do what they needed to do and kept the resources from coming in to meet the needs of the people. So they started to eat what they had, what you store in the house, until everything starts to go down. And then they start to eat their donkeys, right? They start to eat their horses. You know, their resources are diminishing. The people are suffering. And then it becomes so bad, they start to eat themselves. God allowed it. The Bible doesn't tell us that there was sin in, it doesn't tell us explicitly that because of their sin, God brought this punishment. It simply said the king of Aram came and besieged them with his army. And back then, this is how they wage war. The enemy will surround you, wait for you to starve. You're hungry, you're weak. They're just waiting. See, they're outside, they've got everything they need. But you're locked inside, you've got nothing. All that you have is whatever surrounds you. And that's been used up, and it's been used up, and it's not being replenished. And they're just waiting it out. And God says, I'm waiting it out too. What are you going to do? Even as the enemy surrounds and says, I'm waiting to see what you're going to do. The Bible says the king was walking and somebody came and asked the king, help me. The king said, what help can I give you if God doesn't help you? And when the king tore his clothes, he had on sackcloth to show that he was mourning. He was grieving. What was going on was affecting the king. The king was never named. We don't know which king this was. But he was in a mourning and a grieving position before God. Because this famine had lasted a long time. And so he said something that's very key. He said it here in verse 33. The king said, this disaster is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer? And sometimes God puts us in that position. We are like in a walled up place. Nothing can really come in. We can't really go out for whatever we need. It's whatever we have right there that we're using. And it's being used up and it's being used up. But God allowed it. He allowed that difficult situation. Call it whatever you want. For some people, it's like, I'm in a job I don't like. But God said, I allowed it. Or I lost a job. When my husband lost a job, he asked me a question. He said, why did God allow that to happen? Why didn't the Holy Spirit warn me not to take the action I took? I don't know. All I know is God allowed it. And it put us in a situation where we were like these people. All the resources we had, it was whatever we had that was being used up. Exactly. But God allowed it. But here's the thing. The king said this. He said, this disaster is from the Lord. So he recognized that God allowed it, but he said something. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer? And sometimes that's where we get into. We get into a difficult situation that God allows that difficult situation to come about, either by our own actions or the actions of somebody else, and he could quickly deliver us, but he chooses not to, and then the situation extends, and it becomes worse and worse and worse, and then we say, you know what? God's not moving. Why don't I just do something? Let me get out of this. Logic says I can go out and, you know, get another job, do something. Something. Get out of my situation. I can move to another city. God sent me here. Yes, he did. But things are just worse, going from bad to worse instead of getting better. So I can just get up and go. Why am I staying here? Why am I waiting? What's God doing? He's not doing anything. Yeah, he's not answering my prayers. I keep praying about it. So the enemy's waiting for you to get weak enough to give up. And God's waiting. He's just waiting. And you're wondering what's going on. It was a bad situation, a great famine. And so here comes the man of God with a prophetic word. So the first thing is, God allows it. The second thing is, what do you do with a prophecy? Because the truth of it is, in the midst of every situation we go through, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, God already speaks. He's either spoken at the beginning of it, before you started going through it, but you just didn't pay attention. Or he spoke in the middle of it, and you were just thick in the midst of what you were going through, you didn't even pay attention to it. But God always speaks. And here's the thing. So he said, you know what? Hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. About this time tomorrow, a seer of the finest flour will sell for a shekel and 2 seers of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. Now let's stop here and look at this. Remember, the people are in the city. Remember, their farmlands are out there. This famine has gone on for a while. You have seasons agriculturally when you sow. The rains come. The crop starts to come, you go out, you harvest, you bring it in. It doesn't happen overnight. I don't put a seed in the ground and tomorrow go and get my tomato plant and, you know, start putting it in my salad. It just does not work that way. There is a season for this, right? But God was saying something here prophetically. And that's the thing about prophetic utterances. You have to, whenever a prophetic utterance goes out, write it down, because on the surface of it, you will not understand it. You won't. You got to take it, write it down, take it, go back and go before the Lord. This is what I heard. Because here, Elisha was saying, you know what? God is about to circumvent that whole season of putting it in the ground, waiting for the rain to come, bringing the harvest. Because remember, they've been in the city to the point where they were even eating themselves. So it means that whatever resources they had in the city was so greatly diminished that they had to turn towards eating one another. So the seasons of planting and reaping and sowing and doing all of that, those seasons had been moving past them, and they were not in a position to go out there and get anything. So anything that should have been harvested would already have died on the vine. And anything that should have been planted would not have been able to be planted to meet the season. Right? So they didn't have an opportunity to go out there and essentially hustle. They had none. And what did God say? God said, but tomorrow, he said, the finest flour. He didn't just say flour. the finest flour, he said, is going to sell for, get this, a shekel. Meanwhile, in verse 25, they were buying a donkey's head for 80 shekels of silver. Now, if you were going to eat, I think you would go for a cow over a donkey's head. I'd pick a cow. I don't know about a donkey's head. But you know what? It got so bad that if anybody had anything to sell and you were going to sell a donkey's head, it would go for 80 shekels of silver. So let's break it down to our times. Maybe it'll be like $80. You would get a donkey's head for $80. How much meat you would get on that donkey's head, I really don't know. Probably not a whole lot. But it would be $80, and maybe you gnaw on some bones, and hopefully it'll satisfy you, add some water to it, something, right? But God said, he said, this time tomorrow, a pound of the finest flour is going to sell for like $1. And so it's kind of like you're thinking to yourself, how is that possible when we haven't gone out there and we haven't planted the wheat berries, the wheat plant, and we haven't brought them into the harvest, and we haven't taken out the wheat berries, we haven't grinded all of that to actually get the flour, right? And so this is what some of us do to God. The officer on whose arm the king was leaning, verse 2, said to the man of God, look, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of the heavens, could this happen? Many times that's what we do to God. That's exactly what we do. Even if, look at this, he said, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of the heavens. How vast is heaven? Point me to anybody who's ever measured heaven before. And yet he said, even if God were to open the floodgates of this unmeasurable place, exactly how is this going to happen? Really? And many times this is how we treat God. We may not express it, as in verbally, but our attitude does, and God knows. In our hearts, we're like, okay. Yeah. I'll see it. When I see it, I'll believe it. That's not faith. That's not faith. Yeah. When he sent Elisha, the prophet, who had a double portion of the Spirit of God, to go and speak. A prophet whose word had never failed. This is how you know a prophet. That's the simple test for a prophet. If they speak and it comes to pass, they're a prophet. If they speak, it doesn't happen, they're not a prophet of God. And God told them, stone them back then. He sure did. So that anybody who wanted to go forth and say God said, when God did not say, hey, consider the consequences of what you're about to do. But this is a man of God. And this man came and he spoke. And many times that's how we treat God. So God is saying, how do you treat my prophetic utterances when they come forth? When I send somebody to speak to you individually, or when I send somebody to speak to the house as a whole, how do you treat my prophetic word? Do you write it down? Do you just clap over it and say, oh, that's good? It's a great thing when the natural meets the supernatural and the word of God goes out. But God doesn't want us to be wowed by that. He wants us to be wowed by the word. Look at the word. Look at that word. Take that word. Look at it. Examine it. Pray over it. When God sent a man to tell David, a prophet to tell David, that you know what? You won't build the house for me. Your son, who I will raise up, will build a house for me. That was a prophetic word. What did David do? The Bible said David went into the temple of the Lord. He went before God in prayer. And he said, God, that which you have said you will do, now do it, Lord. And you can believe that over the years, David probably kept going back and saying, God, that which you have said you will do, do it, Lord. He kept taking it before God. Do it, God. What you have said, I'm waiting for you to do it. This man expressed the doubt that many of us feel. Elisha said something. He said, "You will see with your own eyes," answered Elisha, "but you will not eat any of it." See, sometimes our doubt is not going to negate how God is going to move. It's not. God will still do what he's going to do, but it's going to affect how we receive it. It's going to affect us being able to receive that thing that God is doing. It's going to either move us out of position so that when God does come out, we get a trickle of it. And we're rejoicing over that trickle. And God is like, "I did an abundant thing." But we don't realize we just got a little bit of it. Because that doubt will be like, "Why am I waiting on God? Let me start moving." God said, "Stand here. Let me start moving." God said, "Stand here. Let me start moving." God said, "Stand here. Let me start trying to help God. Let me start. Why am I waiting on God?" So this was the response the man of God gave to the one who expressed doubt before the word of God. And so God says, "How do you treat my prophetic word when I send it out? Because the way you treat it is key to what you will receive. It's very key." And so here comes, there are four men with leprosy. So let's continue. So there are four men with leprosy. And back then when you had leprosy, they used the term leprosy in the Bible for all kinds of skin diseases that were generally communicable, so which meant you had to be apart from the people because you could easily begin some kind of a contagion, and then everybody has this disease and, it's like it wipes out the whole population. So people who had leprosy were away from everybody else. The four men were outside the gates of the city. They were not in the city. They were outside the city, right? So it's like, because they had leprosy, they couldn't live their everyday lives. They were dependent on the kindness and the mercy of the people in the city to help them, right? So the people in the city were suffering. So essentially, these men with leprosy were also suffering as well. Because there was nobody, they can't wait outside the gates of the city for people coming out to bless them and help them. They could not do any of that, right? So they said, "You know what? We're going to go and our plight is horrible. So we're just going to go to the enemy camp and see, if they can feed us, if they'll show mercy to us or something, right?" So they go there and they find the work that God has already prophesied. They find it already in motion. Right? They get there and they find these people. And here's the amazing thing. The armies of their enemy army ran so fast, they even left the horses that they should have got on. They left the horses behind and ran on their feet. Wouldn't you run faster if you got on the horse? Or if you got on the donkey? They left the horses. The Bible says they left everything as it was and just took off running because God made them hear a sound. And God can deal with whatever situation is keeping you restricted. God can deal with it. It's not too big for him. These people, remember, they're in the city. They could not come out. So all they had was a dependence on God. They were starving. And if you've ever been, if you've ever starved before, your energy level starts to wane really, really fast. Your mind is confused. You can't think. Now you want to lift up a sword and go fight a battle? No way. You might trip over that sword and stab yourself before you actually get into battle. Just because you're tired, you have nothing. God dealt with that enemy before they even knew it. So here are these four men wandering into the camp, and what did they find? Oh, wow, everything is available. These people have left. So what do? They start taking the food and taking the gold and taking the silver and everything. And then they say, oh, wait. Let's go tell people. So here's the other thing God said. How do you treat my testimonies? Do you just clap? Oh, that's great. God did that. How wonderful. Or do you take that testimony, take it in, hear what God did for somebody else, especially when it's something that's very similar to your own situation, and you take that testimony in and you're like, wait a minute, God, you are awesome. Okay, you are speaking to me. You are using that testimony, especially when it's similar to your situation, to speak to me, to let me know something about my situation. Because a testimony is not just a feel good, oh, well, you know, it's not just, oh, well, God did it for them, how wonderful. Yes, it is a God did it for them, but it's also a go back in prayer and say, God, you did it for them, I'm your child, I heard what you did. So if you did it for them, God, you've got to come through for me. I'm standing on your word, God. I saw you move on their life. They're no more righteous than I am. I'm a child of God. They're a child of God. If you came through for them, you gave them a job and you gave them a pay raise, then Father God, open a way for me because I heard the testimony.
Yeah.
On Wednesday, Laquita shared how God gave her a job, a new job, and she'd been waiting. She'd been trying, she'd been waiting, she finally gave up, and God just moved. And then Kiki shared how she was getting favor from God. I heard those things, because I'm looking for God to do something about my husband's job situation. So I went back to God, and I said, Lord, I thank you. I'm rejoicing with my sisters, but God, you got to do something about my husband's situation. I thank you for coming through for them, God. You gave them pay raises that are greater than anything they could have imagined. So God, what are you going to do about my husband's situation? Because I know you can do it, God. You showed that you've got the power. You are the God of the impossible. They don't even feel like they're qualified for what you gave them. They know they're not qualified, but you opened that door. So if you open the door for them, open the door for my husband, God. That is how you treat a testimony from God. So you go back to God in prayer and you make God, you say, God, I heard what you did. I heard what you did. You're a mighty God. You're an impossible God who can do impossible things. So come through for me. You are exercising your faith. You are exercising your faith. I heard the healing. I heard that person who had cancer got healed, Lord.
Yeah. My God, my God.
All they said they did was pray.
Yeah.
Okay, God. It's not too big for you.
Thank you, Lord.
So God said, sometimes I would allow a situation. And in the midst of that situation, he said, how do you treat a prophetic word that comes? And in the midst of that situation, how do you treat the testimonies that you hear, especially that are similar to yours? I'll give you an example. Yesterday I was at home and I'm doing all kinds of stuff on the computer and I had the TV on and it's this Christian channel and there was this man of God preaching who's gone home to be with the Lord. He's a prophet. And, you know, it's just on in the background. I'm not paying attention. I'm just doing whatever I'm doing. And then at some point in time, for whatever reason, I got up. And I walk closer to the TV, and I'm listening. All this time is playing in the background, whatever he's saying, I'm not really paying attention to it. I don't even know. But I got closer. And he starts talking. He says, I was at a conference one day. He said, and I'm preaching the word of God. And he said, there's this couple that are sitting right there. He said, they're very well-dressed. He said, they're very polished. He used the word polished. He said, they're very poised. And they just sat there and just listening. And he said, every time I would, it's like my eyes would scan the room. And for whatever reason, my eyes would keep going back to them. And he was like, as I was preaching, he said, God's just started showing me things about them. He said, so after my message, he said, I had to call them up. And they came up. They were nervous and everything. He said, I started to prophesy to them. He said, I told them, I said, the Lord showed me you've been married about 10 years. You've been looking for children, but you have no children. He said, you've been going to doctors and doctors and said, you know what? There's nothing we can do for you. It's gotten to the point where we don't know what's going on. We cannot help you. And they just broke down. They were weeping. I'm standing there looking at them, looking at this man, and he's just talking. And he said, you know, I prophesied to them and I told them God heals your body, you will have children, blah blah blah, and all that stuff. He said in the 11th year of their marriage, they'd been married 10 years, they were going into their 11th year, the wife got pregnant. Amen. My husband and I are going into our 11th year. Right. My ears picked it up. And my spirit said, what are you going to do about it? And I'm like, oh, Lord, you are a mighty God. Hallelujah. You are a powerful God. There's nothing you cannot do. If you, oh, God, can speak, hallelujah, you can speak through the TV and encourage me, Lord, to know that there is nothing too difficult for you to do. I saw my husband and I in that. And that's how God wants us to see when a testimony comes out. Yes, these four lepers came and they said, hey, we went and the camp was empty. Everything was there.
Yes, Lord.
And the king got up and said, these people are playing a joke on us. They want us to come out. And then they'll take over everything. But he was still willing to give it a try.
Yes.
Somebody advised him, said, we only have 5 horses left in the entire city. Let's take some of them, go investigate. And sometimes you have to stretch your faith.
Yes.
Sometimes God says, take this step. And it may not make sense, because to them, they were like, what if it's an ambush? What if the enemy is waiting for us? What if we will be defeated? What if we will lose everything? What if they come in and take us captive and burn down our city? But when you've been in the midst of a situation and God has sent you a prophetic word, and now you're hearing testimonies, God says, take a step. And I can't tell you what that step is, but the Holy Spirit will. And all he's waiting for is for you to take that step. Because remember, it had already been done. It had already been done. Somebody came to tell them, it's already been done. But now they had to be the ones to step out and say, is it true? Will I really see it? Or am I going to hunker down in my position right here and just wait, fearful? Just stay there. I'm under siege. I'm surrounded. I got my own resources in here, and they're dwindling, but somehow God is helping. Or we're trying. We're holding on. And God said, I've sent my prophetic word to you. Hold on to that word. Don't move. Don't move. Don't move. Wait, wait, wait. And then God starts to say, now.
Amen.
He says, now.
Yeah.
He says, now. And then you're like, but. God says, now. I've done it now. And you're like, it's impossible. It's impossible. How can it be done now? How? Who will go out and plant? Who will go out and water? Who will go out and bring in the harvest?
Yes.
God said, your enemy already provided you everything you need.
Yes.
Because when they came, you can imagine all their generals came with them. And their generals are not going to be eating what all the ordinary officers are going to be eating. So they had all their cooks there with them and all their finest provisions all there with them. They had everything. And remember, when they left even their horses. And their chariots, because it's the horses that pulled the chariots.
Yes.
They left all that. And they just ran on their feet. Clothes on their back, shoes on their feet, ran. Left everything. And so sometimes God is saying, take that step of faith. What I've already said. But in order to take that step of faith, you have to posture yourself, first of all, with the prophetic word. What are you saying, God, in my situation? What are you saying? And then whatever it is, you keep holding on to it so that you never move, you never deviate. Because you will hear like that day. Remember, the famine had been going on for a long time. But one day, God sent the man of God to say, this time tomorrow. Right. He didn't say it at the beginning of the famine. God let it go on. So the question is, what is going on in your situation? What is your situation like that God has already said, this is my word concerning it? And what are the testimonies that you are hearing from other people that pertains to your situation? We hear testimonies all the time. But it's not just so that you can say, hey, God is good, and then move on. No. There's a bigger, bigger, bigger purpose behind that. It's to fuel your faith. Because the enemy that's encamped around you, guess what? He's just waiting for your faith to die. That's all he's waiting for. When your faith dies, you have no trust in God whatsoever. You do not want to listen to anything God has to say, nor the people of God. You don't care. You don't care. And that's all the enemy is doing. He's waiting for your faith to die. But God's already sent a prophetic word. And then he sends the testimonies. And guess what you're doing? You're fighting the good fight of faith. With the prophetic word and with the testimonies. Now, the man who doubted didn't change what God was going to do. He saw it, but he didn't partake of it. The king never voiced any doubt. He didn't. Never doubted, never said any doubtful thing. He just listened to what the man of God said. God did it. And the king was able to experience it, and so too all the people. But the one who doubted, the Bible said, the king put him at the gate to man the gate. And when the people heard about what was going on, they ran headlong and trampled that person at the gate. So when God is ready to do a sudden move of God, he wants you to be part of what he's doing so you can enjoy it. He sees your suffering. He sees it. But he allows it, and he knows the reason why he allows it. For each one of us, it's always different. Sometimes it's to teach us, to mature us, to grow us, whatever it is. Sometimes it's just, you know, a strengthening in the spirit. Sometimes it's a character builder. You got to get some good character in you. Sometimes it's a spiritual growth thing. You have a good character, but God wants to see that faith in you become stronger. And he just wants to show, I am God. Yes. I am the Lord, able to do the impossible.
Thank you, Lord.
So the word of God is, there's some people in this house, God has a sudden move that he's about to do. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Because he had me pray that on Wednesday. Some people in this house are about to experience a sudden move of God. Stay with it. Stay with it. Because you'll come back and glorify God. And that testimony will be fuel for somebody else's fire in their faith. To hold on. They're about to see a sudden move of God. God bless you.